This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's a great pleasure to speak to Sophie Petter, the Paris bureau chief for The Economist magazine, author, Sophie Petter, of Revolution Française. And this is the story of the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, who is extremely well-educated and, in fact, graduated from the supremely important college, university in France that brings us all of the leadership of France. He graduated, it's called the ENA, the National Administration School, where they train the leadership. But he comes from a red brick working class city, Amiens, in the north. And Sophie introduces us in 1977 with the birth of young Emmanuel Jean-Michel Frédéric Macron to the fact that Amiens had had a communist mayor for 20 years. What is it in Amiens that the French would know immediately that coming from there means you're one kind of thing? What do we understand about the town, Sophie?
A working town, a lot of industry in the past, industry that's closed, so a sort of sense of decline on the one hand. It's also part of the Somme, it's in the battlefield, so I think that's also part of its identity. I think it's seen as part of an area of France that has been in decline and that has struggled. This is not sort of smart, chic, suburbs of Paris or left bank intellectual milieu. It's really much more a sort of an average kind of town.
Mom and Dad are both physicians. And Dad remains a physician, you say, as the publication of this book. His grandparents are even more compelling. I believe one of his grandparents, his paternal grandfather, was an Englishman who married a French woman following the first war. Do I remember that correctly, Sophie?
You do. He was a butcher from the town of Bristol in England who had come over to France to fight during the First World War and ended up marrying the French woman that he met there. And that's part of Emmanuel Macron's heritage. Yep.
That's the father, but the mother, and beg pardon if I mispronounce, the Nogues family?
That's right.
The grandmother and the mother. Those are the interesting lines that we need to follow. The grandmother, her mother, in other words, Emmanuel Macron's great-grandmother, cannot read or write. His grandmother then devotes herself to being an educator, a teacher, and a headmistress. And that's Manette. And the mother, Francois, is a physician, doesn't practice physician, a doctorship. She's a social worker. And so he has a mom and dad who are doing very well in Amiens. And you say that it's a comfortable life. They're skiing. There are music lessons. And that's why Emmanuel Macron knows his music. He can debate Bach versus Mozart just on a whim. That's who he is. All right. But he spends his childhood in books with his grandmother, Manette. What does that mean to him? What does it mean to Manette?
Well, I think what came through to me in talking to people who knew him as a child, who were at school with him, that this was an unusual child. He was clearly sociable and had friends, but he also spent a huge amount of time by himself reading and with his grandmother, who became such an important influence in his life. I mean, I think she found a way to channel all that interest into reading and into books. And they were incredibly close to each other. I think it's sort of important not to give an idea that this was a tough childhood. I mean, Amiens is a working class town, but Emmanuel Macron did go to the private Catholic school there. There is a kind of bourgeois element to the town, and that's where he grew up. So this wasn't a time of sort of deprivation in any sense. This was a comfortable background, as you said. And this relationship with the grandmother was extraordinary, even to the point where a few weeks ago, as president, now in his fourth year, Emmanuel Macron went back to the school where his grandmother was headmistress and talked to teachers who were still there who remembered her. And that, I think, just shows to you quite what a strong bond it was that the two of them forged, and which led to a real sort of literary awakening for the young Macron.
He's an intense reader, and his grandmother reads to him. She reads him Molière. I'm in awe of a grandmother who reads you Molière in the afternoon when you could be out playing tennis. But he, in high school, in La Pro, they call it La Pro, his high school, taught by Jesuits, he meets his drama teacher. She's not his immediate teacher. She runs a drama class, and that is Brigitte. And the way you present it, there's some mystery to this, but immediately the teenager, the 15 and 16 and 17-year-old, becomes devoted to Brigitte, and she returns his affection eventually. That's the unusual twist here, if I read it correctly. Now, all these years later, Brigitte and Emmanuel remember this matter. It's important to them. How so, Sophie? We have a minute before we turn to Macronism. What did they remember about those first years together?
I think that what happened into their relationship, which was clearly shocking to a lot of people, she was married, she had three children. The bond that brought them together. It was so unsettling for both of their families that I think it helped them build a kind of shell around themselves and a bond that has lasted. And it has been a way of resisting all the difficult things that have happened since, both before the presidency and during the presidency. I think they built this shell which has sort of protected them.
I think Brigitte provides you a quote where she says that we got to be tough because of the derision. In fact, his parents went to her, I believe, at one point and asked her to break off until he was 18. So she and Emmanuel Macron and Brigitte, whose name at the time, she was part of a family, a well-to-do family. They make chocolates. They still make chocolates in Amiens. They learned to take care of themselves. And so we're now going to go to the back to the politics, because now we have a precocious son of the French provinces. But how does he come to the center of French power, the palace? The book is Revolution Française. Sophie Petter is the author. The quest to reinvent a nation. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.